It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Good morning, America. My name is J. Christian Adams. I'm in for Sandy Rios today on American Family Radio. It's great to be here. I was with you a few weeks ago. Thank you for Sandy for having me again. And you may remember I frequently am on Fox. I'm an election attorney, used to work at the Justice Department and president of the Public Interest Legal Foundation, which is an organization dedicated to election integrity. And, you know, you wonder, does it get any hotter than it is right now? If you're on the East Coast, if you're in the South, even if you're in the Midwest, it is an absolute scorcher the last couple of days. So enjoy the nice, cool morning before it kicks in again later today. It's also getting hot in the Middle East. And, you know, those of you who were around in the 1980s remember things like this. It's like deja vu all over again. And we'll be talking a lot more about that. You can call in today at 888-589-8840. J. Christian Adams in for Sandy Rios this morning. In the Middle East, a lot of developments are happening very fast, and it's difficult to decipher the import of them. But here's what you need to know. Over the weekend, Iranian gunboats from the Revolutionary Guard seized an oil tanker. Remember that in the 1980s? That was happening in the Straits of Hormuz. And President Reagan back then, you might recall, would have none of it. And the U.S. Navy kept those straits open and kept the flow of oil flowing. So maybe it's time to go fill up your tank. Get your gas tank filled up before this actually starts to affect your daily life. Because I will tell you, I can remember that in the 1980s. And I remember the lines in the 70s. Remember if you're license plate ended in an odd number, you could get gas on Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays. And if it was an even number, you get gas on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays because of the shortage of oil coming to the United States. Well, the Iranian regime, hot on the heels of President Trump saying that the nuclear deal is dead, that the United States has pulled out, has decided to flex its muscle in other ways. And they're acting like spoiled brats, because that's essentially what they are, except they have the power of a state. And don't forget, so many Americans in the last 20 years have lost their lives in uniform because of the Iranians. It's not talked about much, but it was the Iranians who were fueling the attacks on U.S. forces in Iraq and throughout the Middle East. It's not talked about much, but it's true. And now look what's happening this weekend. Iran seized an oil tanker. Now, here's the problem for Iran. First of all, it's international law. You have a right to be on the high seas. Wars have been fought over this for centuries, not the least of which is America's own War of 1812. So these oil tankers have a right to be on the high seas in international waters in the Straits of Hormuz. Here's the other problem for Iran. Guess what country's flag was flying on the stern of that oil tanker? They sort of picked the second worst possibility. If this was an American flag, we'd be in a very, very different posture this morning. But they kind of picked the second worst one. You know what flag that is? It's the Union Jack. It's the United Kingdom's flag. And if there's any navy in the world that you don't want to mess with, besides the U.S. Navy, it's the British Navy. And so these jokers from the Iranian Revolutionary Guard took a helicopter, and if you've seen the video, it's pretty chilling stuff. They rappel down a rope and seize a British oil tanker on the high seas. That's what we're dealing with in the Middle East. That's what your price of gas could be affected by, is that sort of lawlessness. We're going to talk about lawlessness all this hour. Later on this hour, we're going to talk about lawlessness surrounding elections, which is my specialty. You've heard me talk about it as a guest with Sandy Rios in the past. But some serious developments have taken place in just the last couple of weeks regarding elections. And my question is, why is it that every time a state decides to do something with an election law, whether it's voter ID, whether it's where the polls are, pretty much anything involving elections, drawing the lines, there's a lawsuit. We're going to talk more about that coming up later this hour. And we want to take your calls at 1-888-589-8840. I'm Jake Christian Adams in for Sandy Rios. Incivility seems to be a fad, that's putting it mildly, commonplace, rising. In the headlines today, Democrats to boycott Jamestown events if Trump attends. Democrats to boycott Jamestown events if Trump attends. Now, what is this? Jamestown, Virginia, as I like to explain to all of my friends in Massachusetts who think that the Pilgrims were the first permanent settlers in the United States, that's wrong. It was Virginia. In Jamestown, was founded over 400 years ago. 1607, the Godspeed, the Susan Constant, landed in Jamestown, and a new civilization was started. And about 10 years later, 12 years later, about now, 1619, the Jamestown settlers formed the first legislature in the United States, the first parliamentary-type body, the Virginia legislature in the United States of America. And you could still go to Jamestown, and you could see where this legislature met, which is pretty radical stuff, right? Like, you get here, and you're fighting the Indians for the first 10 years of your existence. You're starving to death. Some really horrible things took place at Jamestown. If you ever want to get an understanding of how fortuitous this country is, and really should have never happened, read about Jamestown. Because these people face starvation, hostile attacks, no support from home, cannibalism, horrible, horrible things. And yet it was the beginning of the greatest country in the history of the world. So anyhow, the Jamestown legislature, or parliamentary body, first met in 1619. And Virginia is going to commemorate this incredibly important event, frankly, for world history. Remember, there weren't exactly lots of parliaments back in 1619. I mean, you know, of course you had the British Parliament. You had some parliaments on the continent, in for example, the Low Countries. That was about it. You didn't have a parliament in China or India. You had very, very different forms of government there. Tyrannies, despots, kings, gangsters, tribes. So you have this incredibly important event in 1619 where parliament, essentially the parliamentary powers of coming together and meeting to decide problems through consensus, and that's one of the important points I'm trying to make, and courtesy and dialogue started in 1619. Well, what are we going to do? We're going to celebrate it this year. We're going to celebrate the formation of the first parliament in North America. So let's have a big show. Let's have the President of the United States come. We'll have the opening of parliament. The Queen has been there, by the way. Queen Elizabeth has visited this parliament, or I should say the building where it met in Jamestown. So we're going to commemorate this special event with a special occasion, except we're not, because you all know what happens next. Democrats to boycott Jamestown events if Trump attends. Democrat lawmakers in the General Assembly of Virginia said Friday they plan to skip Jamestown commemorations this month if President Trump is in attendance. Right? Don't show yourself. The Democrats issued a joint statement threatening to boycott events, marking four centuries since Jamestown hosted the first representative assembly in the Western Hemisphere. Quote, We will not be attending any part of the commemorative session where Donald Trump is in attendance, said House Democrat leader Eileen Fillercorn. It's hyphenated. Fillercorn. Okay. Where to begin? I'd like to know what you think of 1-888-589-8840. Where to begin with this? Okay, I get it. You don't like Donald Trump. But folks, whatever happened to the notion of ceremonial courtesy, where at important events, the bicentennial, the commemoration of the end of the Civil War, 50th anniversary of Apollo, which was last week, whatever happened to the idea that we as a country take time out to be nice? We take time out to put aside political differences and come together to commemorate something special. I will submit to you that when we stop coming together for events like the 400th anniversary of the first legislature in the Western Hemisphere, that we're in serious trouble. And I don't mean serious trouble like, well, we don't get along anymore. I'm talking about serious trouble. Because these are the things that bind us together. The ability to celebrate parliamentary democracy in the new world. These are the things that bind us together. The ability to say on one day, Democrat, Republican, whatever, that this is an important event and we're going to recognize it together as Americans. When we lose that ability, we're in trouble. And we're losing that ability. And I'm going to talk much more about this later in the show. This institutional incivility. I was just on Twitter where, by the way, you can reach me. Here you go. Get ready. Add me. Follow me. I'll follow you. It's at electionlawctr, at electionlawctr, like center, but it's CTR. I was just on Twitter, and there's a new theme on the left, and it says, deactivate your account. Deactivate your account, please. Really? That's the solution? That's how you argue? That's where we are in America, that the answer to disagreement is to not show up and to shut up. Folks, this is dangerous. This is not people acting stupidly. These are 1858 moments. These are the moments where the ties that bind become frayed forever, or at least temporarily, absent a jolt. We're going to talk about incivility and institutional incivility this hour, because it's bigger than you realize. When I talk about institutional incivility, I'm talking about organizations like the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, and other so-called civil rights groups that receive hundreds of millions of dollars to stir up incivility and to personally attack their opponents and attempt to silence them. Hundreds of millions. I'm not talking about a little project here and there. I'm talking about hundreds of millions of dollars dedicated to trying to shut up their opponents. That's really dangerous. It's like not going to a celebration of the 400th year anniversary of parliamentary democracy. But that's where we're headed. There's a bloodlust on the left to destroy your ideas and your values and your beliefs. What's paying for it? Who's paying for it? How do they operate? We'll have more about that this hour. I'm Jay Christian Adams in for Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio. Let's take your calls at 1-888-589-8840.
It is a horrible scenario, but it happens. Dennis writes about his wife. She was diagnosed with leukemia. In fact, she's a two-time survivor. And in the midst of all that, they ran up over $1 million in medical bills. Thankfully, they're Medishare members, and Dennis says they are so thankful for that, how others came together to meet their needs, and that's how so many Medishare members feel. This is not health insurance. It's different. You don't have to pay for things you don't believe in, and like Dennis found out, it just works. So if you join Medishare, not only do you save a lot of money, the typical family saves about $500 a month, but you know where your money's going each month. You're helping people, and if the time should come, they'll be helping and even praying for you. So yes, it's different, and as more than 400,000 people now know, when it comes to healthcare costs, different is beautiful. Find out more. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance each day to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Brooks D. Tucker, Assistant Secretary of Veterans Affairs for Congressional and Legislative Affairs. Mr. Tucker is a retired Marine Lieutenant Colonel who continues to serve our country. Deuteronomy 31:6 reminds us of the soldier's strength and courage that comes from God. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to guide Brooks D. Tucker as he works on behalf of our country's military veterans. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team. Join us for summer, a season of prayer, as we come together in faith to make a difference in our country through the power of prayer. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Crime across the Fruited Plain. That story coming up.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Caitlin Bird. I'm a nursing major and I'm a junior. The School of Nursing here at TMU, it's different than any other, you know, university or college out there. Every time we come into class, no matter which nursing professor it is, we always begin in devotion and prayer, and we become a family. They actually allow the students to get up and do devotion and prayer. We pray with each other and for each other, and that's just what sets us apart from any other school of nursing out there.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Dateline Hamden, Ohio. Police say Cheyenne Ewing broke into a house, sat down on a couch. They say the would-be burglar came across the family dog and started to pet the pooch. On a side note, the family should seriously consider getting a new watchdog. Miss Ewing then proceeded to the kitchen, where she washed the dishes. She was arrested after deputies found her wandering through the neighborhood, knocking on doors. They say she appeared to be under the influence of narcotics and apparently had been awake for 2 days, now charged with burglary. But hey, at least she washed the dishes. And in Memphis, Tennessee, a 320-pound man snuck a 2-foot machete past a prison metal detector. Investigators say the man tucked the giant weapon between massive rolls of belly fat. Talk about a tummy tuck. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Good morning, America. My name is J. Christian Adams. I'm in for Sandy Rios in the morning today. Thank you very much, Sandy, for having me. It's always a treat to be here. Usually I'm a guest. Sometimes I'm the host. That's today. And thank you for joining us. We're talking about incivility and the fact that the Democrats won't even go to the 400th anniversary of the commemoration of parliamentary democracy in the United States at Jamestown, Virginia, if President Trump shows up. And, you know, you saw this on display during the Kavanaugh fights. I wrote a piece, folks. I was the only person that I could find that was in the gallery. I was in the gallery for the vote for Justice Kavanaugh. And I heard and saw things you didn't if you were watching on TV. I heard and saw things that made the hair on the back of my neck stand up. And I would implore you to go read my piece. It's, you know, obviously a year old now, but if you haven't read it, you really should. It's a PJ Media. It says, Senate gallery fills with sounds of the insane. And I'm telling you, folks, there were things that happened in that Senate gallery during the Kavanaugh vote that you never saw because they didn't show it on TV, and you never heard because they muted the audio. Like people being dragged away shrieking this unearthly sound as they were being dragged down the hallways by their feet. This incivility, this horrible, horrible disregard of civility in public institutions. Some people will say, oh, it's Trump. Trump's responsible. Really? Were you not around during the Clarence Thomas nomination? Or how about the inauguration? Right? I did another piece at PJ Media. I took a camera to the inauguration. You should see the things that we saw. A lot of you folks obviously don't come to Washington a lot. Good move. But I live here. And I took a camera to the inauguration, and I saw some of the strangest stuff. I saw red fists, you know, communist red fists. I saw hammers and sickles on red flags. What, try flying a Nazi flag, right? Not encouraging it. I'm just saying try doing it and watch what happens. But it's, oh, hey, it's just fine and dandy to pull out the old hammer and sickle. Never mind those gulags. Never mind the eradication of Christianity across half of Europe. And when I say eradication, I mean eradication. But that's okay. That's just fine and dandy to have an inauguration. Thanks for letting us know who you really are, by the way. But I will tell you that I think it starts with Clarence Thomas's nomination back in 1991, where it wasn't the ends justifying the means. I have a piece up at PJ Media right now about the bloodlust on the left. It's no longer about the ends justifying the means. It's the means justifying the means. The means are what's driving these people. The means of destruction, of scaring, of punching in the face in Portland. If you haven't seen that video, go watch it. What I'm trying to impart to everybody listening who lives in the real world, okay, and you should be glad you do. You live in a normal place, probably, if you can hear my voice this morning. What I'm trying to let you know is on the fringes, and increasingly not just on the fringes, something very, very dark is developing that relies on violence and silencing and intimidation and crazy logic. I'm talking crazy logic. Like if somebody says something, it gets twisted, and there's institutions dedicated to doing the twisting and the smearing and the intimidation. And they're funded. This isn't like a bunch of goofballs at the University of Oregon meeting in a basement and then going out with like poster board signs. No. These are organizations that get hundreds of millions of dollars from foundations, Open Society Institute, Arabella Partners. You ever hear those names? There's more. Democracy Alliance. And they are fueling a deconstruction of your values. They are paying for staff that puts out press releases attacking the things you believe in. And I cannot overstate the size of their army. I cannot overstate their budgets. And we'll take your calls in just a minute at 1-888-589-8840. But let me fast forward now to the census fight and how this shows up now in real time. You guys will remember last time I was on Sandy's show hosting, which, by the way, I'm J. Christian Adams, I talked about the coming Supreme Court decision on the census. I was convinced it was going to go good, the 5-4 the right way. It didn't. Justice John Roberts joined the liberals on the court and sided with the ACLU and the left and said, you have the power to do the census. You have the power to decide to add the citizenship question. That is totally within your power, President Trump. But, I disagree because it seems fishy why you want to do it. So therefore, we're not going to allow you to do it. So we're not going to have a citizenship question on the census. Well, here's where it gets really ugly, and you might not have seen this part. The person who wrote the letter, John Gore, he's a Deputy Assistant Attorney General at the Civil Rights Division, where I used to work at the Justice Department. John Gore is a good guy. He wrote a letter to the Commerce Department saying, we would like to have the citizen question because it will help us enforce the Voting Rights Act, which, by the way, is true. I used to enforce the Voting Rights Act. And if I had census data of citizenship, in certain circumstances, I would have had a stronger case. So it is true what the Trump administration was saying. But because John Gore said it, the left is now out for his head. Here's what's happened. They have filed pleadings. You know, you thought this case was over with. You lost. Go home. No citizenship question. Oh, no, 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 no. You do not understand the modern left, if that's what you think is going to happen. Because the ACLU is now out for the personal destruction of John Gore. They want to use the courts to destroy people's careers, reputations, prospects, or put them in prison. They are turning political differences into a blood sport. So what they've done to John Gore is they filed petitions with the court to have him sanctioned, to have his law license potentially threatened because of testimony he gave or things he said. See, they just disagree with him. They want to put pain into the process for any conservative who wants to come to Washington to work on these issues. And so the ACLU, namely a fellow, oh, please go look him up, because he's all over the internet. His name is Dale Ho, H-O. Dale Ho is the attorney for the ACLU who absolutely wants to disappear John Gore from public life. That's my opinion, by the way. Got to say that these days. Because next thing you know, they'll sue you. More on that another time. So John Gore, good guy at the Justice Department of the Trump administration, political appointee, is facing this new onslaught simply because he supported adding a citizenship question to the census. They are no longer content with victory. They want to destroy. We're going to take your calls now. My name is Jay Christian Adams. The number for you to call in is 1-888-589-8840. Let's go to David in North Carolina. David, how are you doing this morning? Go ahead, David. David?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, David.
Hi. I just want to say that I plan on going July 30th to hear Donald Trump speak. My first relative landed in Jamestown 400 years ago, and I encourage everyone, all the listeners, to go and support our president, regardless of what the Democrats do. So,
well, great, David. I'm glad you're going to do that. I was there for the celebration in 2007 when George Bush spoke, and it was an incredibly eloquent and moving experience. That was to commemorate the 400th anniversary of Jamestown. And, folks, I want to share a point of personal privilege with you about that part of the world. Some of you know that I'm a sailor. I like to sail. I go out in the Chesapeake. I sail. And I will tell you, I love to take people out. And I say, look around you. Look around you. Can you name another part of the world would be better to start a new world, a new civilization? Think about it. Fertile, rolling farmlands. Abundant and fertile soil, and waterways, sheltered waterways to protect the trade of goods, the movement of people, like the Chesapeake area has, and that's what Jamestown was. The Jamestown settlers picked the perfect place on earth to begin the world anew. It was a gift of geography like none other. The perfect climate, the perfect geography. There is nowhere on the earth that is more perfect for starting a new civilization. And so this is something worth celebrating. And this is something that apparently the Democrats in Virginia, like Eileen Filler Corn, that's hyphenated Filler Corn, Democrat legislator in Virginia, won't do. Because the president of the United States might be there. Folks, this is what's happening. This is the world we're living in now. We're going to go to Monty in Virginia. Monty, you're actually a Virginia resident. How do you feel about the attitude toward the president of the United States at the commemoration of the 400th anniversary of the first parliamentary democracy in the New World? Monty. Go ahead, Monty.
Thank you. I'll be very brief. Our family's been here a couple hundred years, and the little town of Culpeper, Virginia, is even noted for the First Amendment rights. But, Jay, what you're telling us and describing, because it's part of your profession, we who claimingly are patriots and those that pretend to be patriots that represent the state are none of what Virginia used to be. People used to be as you know, extremely patriotic and giving and loving and appreciative of their past history. Now people try to distort the history, remove the history, and make people sad that the President of the United States, I can promise you, Jake, there will be more people there just to be around him than all those people that are selfish enough and rude enough as elected officials that won't be there. They'll be doing everybody a favor because it's sad. And thank you for what you do.
Thank you very much, Monty. You know, you touched on something that's a recurring theme of mine. That's the importance of history. And if you landed here from Mars in the year of 2019, you would not understand how we got it so good. You say, wow, look at this incredible civilization you built. It's one of the reasons I like to take people on the Chesapeake to see what the settlers encountered. One of my favorite places to sail is St. Mary's, Maryland, where you can see where the Catholics had to flee. Because remember, you know, you went to services. You had services in 1620 as a Catholic priest. You'd have your head cut off, or you would be hanged at Tyburn. So America represented to all religions, whether it was Pilgrim, Protestant, Catholic, a new birth of freedom. And it allowed us to build a civilization that respected human dignity, that allowed souls to flourish, cities to rise, endless fields of grain to feed millions, because we believed in freedom. But if you can disappear history, like the left is doing, if you can disappear those ideas like the left is doing, you can undermine the very civilization, the very roots of the civilization. And that is not an accident. Attacking Thomas Jefferson at the University of Virginia, which, by the way, is true, is happening, as preposterous as that sounds. Attacking Thomas Jefferson at the University of Virginia, you know, the university that he founded, is not an accident. And look at the intersection of racial identity politics into this new Marxist movement. Oh, slaveholder, shut up. Slaveholder, don't listen to what they said or wrote or believed. Right? Because invariably what they said or wrote or believed was limited government and the dignity of man. Oh, and that dignity of man part is a dangerous thing for their cause. Believe me, it is. More dangerous for their cause than limited government ideas, because it explodes outward into lots of issues. Now, oh, well, yes, indeed, they had slaves. But some of us understand the march of history and how nothing is perfect. And if it weren't for those ideas that those people began to develop in the 1600s during the English Civil Wars and the 1700s, and particularly in the United States, in response to the British, we would have a very, very different and a very much more barbaric world. But that doesn't matter to the new left. What matters is power. Power for power's sake. And the way to get it is to destroy people like John Gore at the Department of Justice. Make him pay a price for being in favor of asking the question of whether you're a U.S. citizen on the U.S. Census. And the reason, by the way, they don't want the question asked, are you a U.S. citizen on the census, is because they don't want Americans to know how many non-citizens are here. Period. They know it will freak you out. So we can't ask that question. I'm Jay Christian Adams, in for Sandy Rios in the morning. You can reach me at 1-888-589-8840. Back with your calls after this on American Family Radio.
And seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. From a distance, the fig leaves gave Jesus the impression that there was fruit on the tree. Upon closer inspection, the tree was fruitless. Perfect church attendance and ministry activity cannot replace actual Christ-like fruit produced in our lives. From a distance, it can appear as though we're bearing fruit, but what would we find with a closer look? Are we content with fruitful appearance, or do we yearn for the real thing?
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
For thousands of years, the church has been at the center of Christianity, bringing Christians together and impacting the world for Jesus Christ. But these days, many Christians are choosing to go solo. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress explains why participation in the local church is absolutely essential to our spiritual growth. Listen all this week to Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Ryan Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. A recent Harvard study, which followed 5,000 young people for between 8 and 14 years, found that those who had a spiritually rooted upbringing were much more likely to be healthier and happier in early adulthood than those who did not. Not only did they report higher life satisfaction positivity in their 20s, they were much less likely to smoke, use drugs, or be depressed. They were 30% less likely to have become sexually active in adolescence, and 40% less likely to have a sexually transmitted disease. The key for millennials to being happier and healthier as adults is to have parents who root them and ground them in God and His Word. My Boy to Man book is for fathers of 12-year-old boys to help dads mentor their sons on their way to adulthood. You can order a copy for yourself or a dad you love at afastore.net.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. The Chinese Communist Party has quietly inserted forces into Hong Kong capable of eliminating its many opponents in the former British colony. Such a crackdown might make the party's Tiananmen Square massacre 30 years ago pale by comparison. China's dictator Xi Jinping insists this is an internal matter. It would be a serious mistake were the United States to concur. 4. If the People's Liberation Army can with impunity crush freedom in Hong Kong, it is absolutely predictable that liberty will not be safe elsewhere either. Fortunately, an existing American law says that if China doesn't respect Hong Kong's autonomy, it can no longer benefit from the latter's most favored nation status, ending a backdoor the communists have long massively and very profitably exploited. We must serve notice now. If China snuffs freedom in Hong Kong, it's guaranteed to suffer severe costs. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Hello, good morning. My name is Jay Christian Adams. I'm in for Sandy Rios this morning. It's great to be here. I'm the president of the Public Interest Legal Foundation, a law firm dedicated to election integrity. You can follow me on Twitter at electionlawctr. And we're talking generally about incivility and the various multi-million-dollar forces arrayed against American culture. Small stuff, right? We can solve this in the next few minutes. Or not. Let's take your calls at 1-888-589-8840. Incivility and personal attacks, I said, got started, I think, with the Clarence Thomas nomination. But it's taken on a life of its own. It governs our discourse. The president is going to go to celebrate 400 years of representative democracy in Jamestown and the Democrats in Virginia say they're not going to go. Would that have happened 40 years ago, even 10 years ago? Imagine if that happened with President Obama. Oh, we know what would be going on. When the Republicans were in charge of the Virginia General Assembly, and a President Obama was going to come talk, and they said, we're not going to show up when he's there, we all know what would have happened. So let's go to Greg in Mississippi. Greg, what do you have to say?
Good morning. Just wanted to say, actually, I have a relative came to Jamestown in 1611. Richard Biggs also then apparently was elected to that body itself in 1622, I believe. So if I had the chance, I wish I could go. I knew it was coming up, but I was not able to make it over there. But it's an amazing thing to think about, as you mentioned earlier, just the impact of that body itself had around the world. And they were doing things, as you know, that the king didn't even know about, that they were passing laws here in Jamestown area that was not really under the king's purview. And so they were very independent. And I just think it's such a travesty. You know, and you say Clarence Thomas, maybe it goes all the way back to Bork even, to Judge Bork.
Right, but during Bork, they weren't trying to. It was a debate about judicial philosophy with Judge Bork. Okay, let's give Joe Biden and Ted Kennedy that credit. It was about 14th Amendment interpretation. When it comes to Clarence Thomas, it was about personal destruction, and that's carried through to this very day, with how the left behaves. You know, when you talk about Jamestown, I always wonder why on earth did these people come. Right? Let's suppose you live in London. I mean, it was rough. You got smallpox and all sorts of other horrors. But you're going to get that in Jamestown. Why? Your life was going to be worse. Right? You didn't have food. You had, like, dried corn in a barrel. You had salt pork. And so why would you come to Jamestown? Now, if you were coming to Maryland, the story is a little bit different. Maryland's first settlers in the 1630s came here for a different reason. Deborah in Florida, go ahead. Talk about Maryland.
Major William Borman that came over in 1639 after the Ark and the Dove. They came over here basically because of religious persecution against the Catholics. However, they actually coexist with the Protestant as well down in Calvert County. But in 1692, the Church of England, they decided to become the established church in Maryland. So every male 16 and older, including slaves and servants, were obligated to pay a yearly tax of 40 pounds of tobacco for the support of the Church of England. With some alterations, these laws remained in force until the American Revolution. Then in 1704, an act was passed to keep the Catholics from practicing their religion or from educating their children in the Catholic faith.
Right, and that's what makes America, Deborah, so fantastic, because we are rooted in the notion of religious freedom. And people forget, I mean, or frankly, if they're graduating from public schools these days, they never even knew. People forget that practicing your religious belief was a capital offense. You died. You were executed. That was England. We're not talking about Burma or Uganda. That was England. That if you practiced your religious faith, it was a capital offense. And that's what makes America just so astonishing. I mean, England, the most advanced civilization in law in the world. In the world. England, that respected the dignity of man, individual rights, or as they called it, the liberties of British citizens. And yet, practicing your religion would lead you to the gallows. I mean, that's crazy. That's what our forefathers and foremothers, just a few generations ago, you know, count the lifetimes, 75, 80 years is a lifetime. It's not all that many lifetimes ago in relative terms. So we live on a razor's edge of liberty where it has to be defended all the time. But we also live in a world, in a country, where we no longer have the sense of unity. I would venture that many of the things you see happening in the news today wouldn't happen 10 years ago. Now, why is that? Why did it suddenly start to happen? I don't know the answer for sure, but I have some ideas. Let's go to Aaron in Texas. Aaron, what do you think?
Hi. So, just kind of wondering, this is my perspective. So, I'm Mexican-American, but very proud to be American, have family members in the military. My brother's a Marine right now. I'm very proud of him. So, I totally am 100% conservative. But I've gotten perspectives, you know, from family members across the border. I remember a socialist professor from Pakistan in college. There's a lot of resentment. I remember my professor speaking with a lot of resentment about imperialism. Sometimes the United States is viewed as the big bully that strong arms other nations. So how do we still instill patriotism and be proud to be an American with that kind of resentment that's kind of surrounding our country right now?
That's a great question, Aaron. Okay. I will tell you, I just wrote a piece about this at PJ Media. It was called, if you Google Trinity at 74, and I also wrote a piece about this a couple months ago about what makes America great. So let's take your imperialism piece for a minute. We blew off the atomic bomb on July 16th, 1945, in a New Mexico test range, Trinity site. And at that moment, America became the most powerful nation that ever existed on the face of the earth, exponentially so. Exponentially so. And the former haberdasher who was sitting at Potsdam meeting with Stalin and Churchill, namely Harry Truman, was told it worked. It worked. And at that moment, the former haberdasher was the most powerful leader of a nation in the history of the world. And yes, they used the atomic bomb twice, second time because Japan wouldn't surrender even after the first one. They used it twice to bring about the end of the bloodiest war of the bloodiest century. And then we saw 74 years of uninterrupted peace between world powers. Did we see imperial actions like you would have seen 400 years ago if you know, King Arconio had the atomic bomb? Did we say to the world, we are going to take you over? No. How did we use power? We used power to send airborne paratroopers from the sky into Dachau, to liberate Dachau. One camp survivor said it looked to him like angels falling from the sky. That's how America has used power. I don't think that's imperialism. I don't think that you can point to American imperialism. When did we impose governments on foreign nations? Oh, well, wait, Japan. Yes. And we imposed a parliamentary democracy that began electing its own officials virtually immediately. What about West Germany? Oh, well, that you denazified them. Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. And then they had their own Bundestag that elected German governments. That's not imperialism. So I get the whole meme of the left that, you know, that America's imperialist. Well, except there was only one problem with it. History doesn't show that. History shows that we use our goodwill and our abundance to feed the world, to save the enslaved. And there just is not a history of American imperialism. Now, maybe they're confused. If he came from Pakistan, maybe he's confused. And he thinks America and Britain are synonymous, which, of course, they're not. But, you know, I can't speak for the professor for Pakistan. Mexico, another great example. You brought up Mexico, Aaron, in your question. Remember, the Mexicans invaded Texas and the Americans invaded Mexico. We went back and forth. It just so happens that the Mexican army was so horrifically organized and equipped that it didn't last long. It was not a real long, drawn-out imperialistic adventure. And I don't see America, you know, I will tell you, some imperialism might go a long way along the border right now. I'm not suggesting we get imperial, but to protect our nation from the invasion from the South, a little bit of imperialism could go a long way. But yet we haven't chosen that course. We haven't chosen that course. We're going to go to Leonard. Leonard is in Virginia. How are you doing this morning, Leonard?
Fine, thank you, good Lord. And you? My thing is, my ancestors didn't come over until 1619. And when the Revolutionary War started, we put aside our differences, and we went, joined in, to stand for what our Constitution stood for. And now, look to me, we have moved away from what our ancestors, those brought over here, has stood for all these years. To me, it was the best thing that ever happened because we were introduced to Jesus Christ. Our differences were put aside to one cause. That's for Christ and our country. That's what I have to really say.
Well, thank you, Leonard, and you're on to something there, and here's what you're on to. Countries that have freedom of religion, free exercise of religion, have more flourishing religious institutions. Now, that might sound like it's oversimplified, but let's look at history. Take Poland. Pope John Paul knew the power of religious culture and its ability to deal with princes and principalities. And that's why the church in Poland was one of the main centers for overthrowing the communist regime. I know I've told you this if you listened to me last time I was on Sandy's show. I have friends, one of whom defected from Poland. And she tells a story about Polish television. And Polish television was horrible all week long. It had shows about the potato plan. It had shows about the proletariat in Hungary. It had the most boring television you can imagine, except for a few hours once a week. And when were those few hours once a week that communist Polish television suddenly got good? It was Sunday morning. They put Disney movies on when the kids would otherwise be going to church. Tells you a lot about how these governments who are hostile to religion operate. I'm J. Christian Adams. It has been fantastic to be here. You can follow me at Election Law CTR. I look forward to coming back sometime, either as a guest or as a host. You can follow me at Twitter, read me at PJ Media, head of the Public Interest Legal Foundation. You all have a very, very good day, and thank you so much for spending the last hour with me. Take care.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.